would come. As sin had entered into the world at that point, there was one coming who would take that sin away. And that was fulfilled, obviously, by a babe in Bethlehem many years ago. But into this situation that Isaiah speaks in our passage this morning, in chapter 9, the setting is they had been in a very dark time. The Assyrians had brought God's judgment upon God's chosen people. And right up above in chapter 8, this is a very familiar passage that we're going to read. You've heard it before. It's very often read during this season of the year. But we don't read that much before where it talks about the darkness and the despair of that situation. And God says through the prophet Isaiah that there's a people, and there was no light of dawn. Distressed and hungry, they will roam through the land. When they are famished, they will become enraged, and looking upward, will curse their king and their God. Don't you see that going on in the world today, where people are cursing God, rebelling against God, disrespecting God, going their own way rather than God's way? And he said, and then they will look toward the earth and see only distress and darkness and fearful gloom, and they will be thrust into utter darkness. Take away the light from the world, the light of God, and we have utter darkness. But then Isaiah speaks into this prophecy. This is what was going on, but there is hope. Isaiah 9, verse 1. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the future, he will honor Galilee of the Gentiles by the way of the sea along the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the days of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born. To us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. And he will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. And the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. May God add his blessing and his understanding to this, his holy word. Many years ago, there was an Episcopalian minister in Boston, and he was working himself into exhaustion. He was on the verge of a complete breakdown. He was greatly depressed and almost gave up in despair. But he took some time off, and he went away on a long trip. He traveled to a place where he had never gone before. And he saw the lights of a small town. And he walked along those streets. And in those lights, he found hope again. And he wrote a song with the words as follows. O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie above a deep and dreamless sleep. The silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark streets shineth the everlasting light, the hopes and fears of all the years are met in me tonight, in thee tonight. And the rest is church history. His name was Phillips Brooks, the author of that wonderful hymn. And yet, as I think about the words of that hymn, as I think about some of the other wonderful Christmas carols that I love to sing and think about, and this romantic picture, when we think about the reality of Bethlehem, during the time when Jesus was born, it really wasn't that peaceful place, was it? There were Roman soldiers running through. There were tax collectors demanding high taxes. After Jesus was born, King Herod had the slaughter of the innocents. The male children, 2 years and under, were killed. But there was a sign of hope in the midst of that. Have any of you seen the lights of Bethlehem? Anyone been there? Those lights of Bethlehem are everlasting lights, Philip Brooks said. And across 2,000 years, there's never been a time when that light has gone out. The light of Bethlehem still shines today. Over the next few Sundays of the Advent season, I want to share with you about the light of Bethlehem and how it still shines on us today, even during times of despair, like the prophet Isaiah wrote about long ago. The scripture lesson for today comes from the book of Isaiah that we just talked about and read, and it was written during a very dark and a dangerous time. During a period of about 150 years, both the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom were threatened by their enemies. Both kingdoms fell, and the people suffered the worst kind of defeat and agony. Eventually, even Jerusalem was overrun. The walls, the mighty walls, were torn down, and the temple, the place where God dwelt, was torn down and destroyed. But even in those midst of years of darkness, even before the worst had come, the people were offered a hope. A singer, a preacher, a prophet gave them words of hope. And here are the words that he gave them. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. And the rest is Bible history. The prophet's name, as you know, was Isaiah. And the people who heard those words of God from the preacher needed to hear them because there was darkness all around them. Powerful enemies had been trying to destroy them for centuries. And they were on the verge of destruction. But in the darkness of despair, words of hope came to them. The people living during that time and on up to the time of Jesus believed in good and evil, and they were equated with light for good and darkness for evil. And they really believed in the powers of darkness and in the powers of light. We don't think so much about that today, and yet we still use such phrases like it was a dark time, the dark night of the soul, the dark side, I'm wandering around in the dark, or there's the light at the end of the tunnel, and I'm beginning to see the light. We use these words and these phrases because it describes what many of us experience. And these common feelings have always been a part of the human experience. There have been many times in history when it has been so. In our world today, there's a good bit of darkness in it, isn't it? In spite of the light that is available. Just this past week, we've experienced the reality for the potential of a nuclear strike from North Korea. The news has been full of famous people with moral failures. We live in a dark time when deranged people might simply target people and shoot them, like the man arrested in Florida this past week, or the shootings of people who were gathered in a church service just like this, gathering to worship God, and a deranged man came in and began shooting them and killing them, or attending an outdoor concert in Las Vegas, and a man with a machine gun shooting, or people simply walking down a crowded public street, and a deranged driver running down trying to kill as many as he can. We are experiencing in our time, in our day today, the greatest refugee crisis of Christians since World War II. Yes, we too are living in a time of darkness. Sometimes, and even often, this happens on a more personal level. That's another way we see this truth lived out in our lives today. Many people are feeling hopeless. Many people experience despair. The opioid epidemic runs across every social strata. People feel hopeless. They feel pain, and they're seeking for comfort. Drugs for depression are among the most prescribed drugs today. Suicide is a leading cause of death among younger people, and it hits people of all ages. Yes, darkness is very much a part of the world we live in today. The problems are real, the pain is real, and the hopelessness that many people deal with on a daily basis are real. Even the Christmas season, which should bring out the best in us, sometimes brings out the worst. What we envision is a beautiful, peaceful, Norman Rockwell type of a scenario, and yet what is often experienced is more like a Christmas vacation. The darkness of despair can be a common experience even among this season of the year. Depression and alcohol abuse are more common during this time. But the season of Advent, as we begin today, has a message for us and for all who experience darkness and despair. It's a message of light and hope. The light of Bethlehem still shines on us today. The light of hope shines on you. The light of hope shines brightest in the darkest times of despair. Listen to what Isaiah wrote. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light, and this was their hope for the present and for the future. It really doesn't take much light to overcome the darkness. A little bit of light goes a long ways to overcome the darkness. You know those little, it's amazing to me, but those little LED flashlights, you know, those little tiny ones flash so bright, their beam is so bright that they can be seen a mile away. We used to vacation at Nag's Head, North Carolina, and my uncle owned a house on the Sound side, not the ocean side, but on the opposite side, on the Sound. And I would love to go out on the deck at night on the pier and just look out, and you could see these points of light shining on Roanoke Island, about 5 miles away. And on on certain nights, when it's very clear and very dark, you could see the beam from the lighthouse from Ocracoke that was many miles away. You could see that beam as it would come around, shining that light, a beam of light, safety, and hope for those sailing along a dangerous coastline. A beacon of hope. That's what we need today. And that's what we celebrate during this Advent season. A light has come, and that light overcomes the darkness. There was a woman who was talking with her doctor, and she was talking about her husband, and she said, "My husband thinks he's a refrigerator." And the doctor said, "Well, you know, that's really not all that harmful or dangerous." She says, "Yes, but at night he sleeps with his mouth open, and the light keeps me awake." A little light goes a long ways, and the light that shines on us goes a long way. It's a light of hope. Do you know what that hope of light is for? Isaiah called it a great light. But it was not that great in the beginning. In fact, in the beginning, very few people noticed that that light had come. Just a bunch of shepherds and some astrologers and, you know, just a handful of people recognized that the greatest event, one of the greatest events in all of history, had just occurred. Isaiah defines what that light is, and he says, "For to us a child is born, and to us a son is given." The light would shine through the face and in the face of that child. A Methodist theologian and preacher, Paul Shearer, said that we can have hope in a world where Christmas comes out of a stable, the Son of God out of a smelly little village, and 20 centuries of Christianity out of a tomb. What a great summary of Christianity. Jesus Christ is the light that shines in the darkness. He is the light of hope, the source of hope, and the reason for hope. Some will miss it, of course, looking for love in all the wrong places. Last Friday was Black Friday. Anybody go out on Black Friday and face the crowds? Black Friday has now crept over into Thanksgiving, and now Thanksgiving has almost become the day before the really big holiday, which is Black Friday, and I think that's kind of sad. But anyway, Black Friday is typically the busiest shopping day of the year, which is followed by Cyber Monday. In case you didn't get all your shopping done, you can go online and get it done. But there were lots of people out there working really hard, frantically trying to purchase some happiness, hoping to bring light into the darkness of their lives and the lives of those that they love. And that's a wonderful thing to do. But the real light of hope is such a small thing, it can almost be missed. There was a man who took his granddaughter to see a live manger scene at the church. And she just stood there taking everything in, looking at the manger, the way it was made, and the wise men, and the family of Joseph and Mary and the baby there together, and the animals that were there, and the shepherds. And then she pointed to the star. And he asked her if she thought that the light shone into the stable. And she said, "Of course it does. That's what's so bright inside. But Granddaddy, you can't see how the light shines in unless you get down and look up. Get down on your knees and look up. That's how you'll find hope in the darkness." put yourself in the place where you can see the real light of hope. It will shine on you. Advent is a time of spiritual preparation. It's a time to reflect and think about your own relationship with Jesus Christ, the light of the world. The light of hope will enable you to find your way. The light of hope will shine on the road you travel on. Isaiah wrote, "On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned." And not only had they seen a great light, that light had shone on them. And because the light of hope shines on us, we will be able to find the way, because Jesus Christ is the way. The psalmist tells us in Psalm 119 that God's word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And then in Psalm 27 says that the Lord is our light and our salvation. And so we must read and study God's word so that we might better understand this relationship that Jesus Christ has called us to. Many years ago, there was a little boy named Leslie Hope. At school, remember how they used to call roll in school? I don't know if they still do that today in school when they call your names, but you know, you'd call the name, you'd say here. The teacher was doing this in class, and she called the last name first. So it was Hope Leslie. Well, you know, as kids do, they look for something to mock and make fun of, and so they said that they started calling this man hopeless. Well, this little boy was not hopeless. He was a happy guy, and he was a happy person, and he later changed his name to Bob Hope. And he was a man who spread laughter and brought hope to others in times of despair, to our troops who were separated from their family during the holidays. And he would go and spread joy and laughter up to those who are long ways from home. Wherever you are facing, and whatever darkness surrounds you, there is a light that shines out in the darkness, and that light shines on you. And that light will enable you to find your way. Virginia Law told of her experience. She was a missionary in the Congo. And she said that on their mission statement, there were men who served as their sentries. And, you know, at night they would kind of guard the place. And they all carried oil lanterns. And one night, one of the sentries came to her and brought a message. And she noticed that his oil lamp was not very bright. And she made a comment to it, said, "You know, that lamp doesn't put out much light, does it?" And he replied, "No, it doesn't. But it shines as far as I can step. It shines as far as I can step." You can find your way as far as you can step, wherever you need to go, and the hope and the light of hope that shines on you. And then finally, the light of hope can be shared by you. Not only can you find your way, you can share this light with others so that they too can find their way. Isaiah also wrote about how the joy of the nation had increased, and how the people rejoiced, and how the yoke of their burden had been broken. For this child was called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. You can share the light of hope and increase the joy of others and break the yokes of despair. You know, it's great to give gifts at Christmas, but the greatest gift of all is Jesus Christ, God's Son, who came down out of heaven to be among his people. And sharing this amazing reality is the greatest gift we can give. You can be a witness of this light by living into the meaning of it, by being a person of hope, by reflecting the light and the love of Jesus Christ, by sharing the warmth of it in your daily life, and by inviting other people to come into the lighthouse and learn of the light and feel the warmth of it. In this light, they will find hope. Centuries ago, there was a nobleman in Europe, and he built a church for his people. And it was a place of beauty, and he had thought of everything. But when it opened, a great crowd came to see this beautiful building that had been built, and they noticed that there weren't any lamps in the building. And the nobleman pointed to all the lamp holders that were going down all the way on both sides of the church. And then he said, and then he gave to each family a lamp. And he said, each time you are here, the place where you sit will be lighted. It was up to them to bring the light and to share it. What a beautiful picture of what we're called to be and to do. What about you? Are you reflecting the light and the love of Jesus Christ? Are you sharing his light with others? There are people walking in darkness all around us. Are you willing to share the light of Jesus with them? This morning we began the Advent season by sharing the celebration of the Lord's Supper. The Apostle Paul tells us that whenever we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So let us now prepare to receive this celebration of the Lord's Supper as a reminder to us that the light has come into the world, and that the light overcomes the darkness, and that light brings hope and love to a dark and cold world. And may we proclaim Christ's death until he comes again. Let us go to God in prayer. Almighty God, thank you for sending your light into the world, a light that overcomes the darkness. And help us, Lord, to be points of light, stamping out the darkness wherever we go. Father, thank you for this supper, a simple visual reminder of your invisible grace and love, a reminder of the sacrifice that your Son made on our behalf, and the hope we have through his life, death, and resurrection. Father, I pray that you will spiritually nourish us as we partake of this. Prepare us, Lord, and nourish us for the journey that you have set before us. Use us, Lord, as your instruments of hope and light shining in the darkness. Separate these common, ordinary elements and to those special elements to spiritually nourish your people. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is the Lord's Supper, and Jesus invites anyone, everyone, who is hungering and thirsting after him to come, take, and eat. The Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, took bread, and after giving thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup and he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this in remembrance of me." For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. I invite you to come. This morning we do it by intention. We'd like to ask that you come to the center aisle. Come forward. There will be two stations here. And come and you will receive the bread and dip the bread into the cup and partake. And then return to your seats by using the outside aisles. So I ask you to come. The blood of Christ shed for you. Doug, the blood of Christ shed for you. Roberta, the blood of Christ shed for you. David, the blood of Christ shed for you. Molly, the blood of Christ shed for you. Mark, the blood of Christ shed for you. The blood of Christ shed for you. Body of the blood of Christ shed for you. Kathy, the blood of Christ shed for you. Greg, the blood of Christ shed for you. Chris, the blood of Christ shed for you. Reggie, the body of Christ given for you. And the blood of Christ shed for you. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Almighty God, thank you for your Spirit's presence in and through this meal we've shared. Thank you for the spiritual nourishment we've received. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the light of Christ. May that light shine in our lives and give us hope. Thank you, Father. all these things, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And now let us stand and sing hymn number 9, O Come, O Come.